I hope by now your level of enthusiasm and expectation has risen a little bit over maybe what when John first asked you this morning, did you come expecting something? He didn't get a single amen. You folks just didn't hear him, that's all. Surely didn't come here today expecting nothing. Of course, if you do that, you won't get anything. But if you came expecting something, he will not disappoint you. You expected his presence to be here this morning. I'm sure you know that's true, whether you practice it or not. That's going to happen to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. An announcement I've failed to make for a couple of weekends here that I've been enthused about and forgot it, but Brother Daniel's working on the building out at the Yaqui Indian Reservation, and he called the day in during our discussion. The name was selected, Yaqui Tribal Tabernacle. And that puts the two T's in it anyway. So I haven't had the opportunity to go out there with him yet, but he's faithfully working on it. And any help you brothers can give him, we would appreciate it. And looking forward to having the first services and dedicating the place and getting it started out there. Because he that winneth souls is wise. And I think maybe there's some hungry people out there. I would like to ask also, how many of you people have a copy of this old Acts of the Prophet? First thing that came out, could I see you? Stand up for me. Let me see how many we still got. There was about 2,000 of them put out. One, two. Frank, you got your hand up there? You got your hand in front of somebody there. Stand up, please. If you got this book, stand up. Now I can see you. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 10 copies of it. Okay. In this book, when I first did it, there was a book entitled, the chapter entitled, The Tent. Sandra, do we still have that on tape? I think we do. It might be on a reel-to-reel, but let's find it in the archives, because I'm going to sit through church here sometime soon and hear myself preach. Scott Shire brought me this book this morning and read me some quotes out of chapter 15, The Tent Vision. And then I got one of the first editions like this, and The Tent Vision was in it. And I read it, and they're close enough that you could read them together. And I'd like for you people that claim me as pastor to hear what I said about the seventh seal in 1968 and 69. Amen. I'd like for you to hear what I said. I haven't had to change anything because I said then what Brother Bram said. And I'm saying now what Brother Bram said. I haven't had to change anything. And I guess I just didn't remember that I covered it as thoroughly as I did in that chapter on the tent vision. So even if you don't have this one, if you've got one of the older acts, I think all but the last edition had the tent vision in there. Go back and read that chapter. But in the near future, I'm going to ask you folks to sit and listen while I listen to myself preach that in this congregation. Wednesday night, we went over a few things and reviewed an outline because I'm still pearl hunting. I'm still finding pearls. I'm going to put that there to remind you of what I'm doing. You see, there's so many people that they're claiming what they believe to be revelation. But it cannot be a revelation if it's contrary to the Bible. You talk to a Trinitarian, and they will tell you that they can't explain the Trinity. They say there is no explanation, but it's revelation. And so I've always felt that was dangerous, just to be able to say something's by revelation, because then whose revelation? Yeah. I found a place where Brother Bram says that if you seek a revelation, the devil will give you one.
That's correct. Amen.
He'll give you something that's so real that it'll affect your emotions and your thinking pattern, and it'll flavor and color everything you got. But when he comes right down to it, Brother Bram says if you can't take your doctrine from Genesis to Revelation,
that's right,
without finding a scripture that conflicts it somewhere, there's something wrong somewhere with your revelation,
right,
and your understanding of it. And I think by now we have given enough statements of Brother Branham to know that there's three comings, and only three. And I don't feel like I have to go in detail on them this morning. You know, one was for redemption, one was for taking us away, and another one was to come back to set up a millennial kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you can get the fourth one in there somewhere, well, then you've really got a revelation, because you don't find it in Brother Branham's teachings. Brother Branham said that that he will come back in a corporal body.
Yes, sir.
That's not a spiritual revelation. He says he will not come back to this earth until he sets up his millennial kingdom.
Amen.
And so the second coming that Brother Branham talks about, the coming of the Lord, and the one we talk about, is a going home time for the bride.
Amen.
It's a rapture, the world has called it, because it's caught away. It's a catching away. It's a body change. Now, why did we get confused as we have the last 40 years over it? And I think we came up with two reasons or possibilities why. It's one, because when Brother Branham preached the sixth seal, he skipped the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, and he went straight from 6 to 7. And he didn't tell us, he told us that all these things would happen underneath the sixth seal, but we just put the seventh seal right on top of the sixth seal. And some even got it to where when Brother Branham says the church goes up at the end of chapter 4, and then all the mysteries have to be finished, then the seventh seal, if it's the coming of the Lord to catch us away, then it had to come in here. But I'll show you three places where Brother Branham said you can't get the numbers out of sequence.
Right.
He says if you break God's mathematics,
that's correct,
you can't do it. You can't get the seventh seal before the sixth. You can't get 6 before 5.
Amen.
You couldn't get 5 before 4. You couldn't get 3 before 1. The seals are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And if you got 7 somewhere over here before 5 and 6, well, then Brother Branham said you had it wrong.
Amen.
Now, that's just a simple, you can't have a revelation contrary to that. If you do, you need to go back and check where your revelation came from.
Yeah.
I will be honest with you. When I read what I said here in 68, I begin to see the erosion in my own life. Because the brothers came to me and they said, well, this is not right, this is not right. But I had facts until I was persuaded to remove that chapter from my book in the last edition. And a lot of my people around the world said, what'd you do that for? Well, there was others told me it was so far wrong that I should take it out of the book. Well, I did. I took it out of the book. But you know what? I'm going to put it back in there. I'm going to put it back because I have no apologies to make for it now. None. If I'd have said something in 1968 that was wrong, I'm man enough to stand up now and say it was wrong. But when I read it again, I haven't had to change it because it's right.
Amen.
According to what Brother Branham said. And you see, that's the thing about it. If you say what the word says, all of heaven backs it up.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to worry about it coming to pass.
That's
all
right.
Of heaven will stand behind
That's
it
true.
And be with it all together. And the second reason that I think that that we got wrong is because we did not have all of the seventh seal available to us whenever the church age book was written. And we didn't have all of the seventh seal until it was released with the board in 1966. So 63, 64, 65, and a good portion of 66, we didn't have the original seventh seal the way Brother Branham preached it. We had the 18 or 19 minutes of comments that he made in a motel room, which last Wednesday night, or was it last Sunday morning, last Sunday night I showed you that some of you did not even realize that. And I want to show you something else today, too. While we're on that subject, that I discovered last night, I couldn't sleep last night well. I didn't rest well. I was so anxious about this morning that I just I got up twice and I read the seventh seal twice. Jordan, I don't have the exact paragraph or page number where that tape is flipped over. You got it there, so you can put it up. Oh, it's in the seal book. It's page 558. How many brought your seal books this morning? You bring these seal books to church every service until I tell you we're through with it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at this first paragraph on page 558. And let me point something out to you here. You have it in its entirety, don't you? Okay. Let's take a look at that. Now, when let's prove it why. It is the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is where there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? It's so great it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice when the seven angels came forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder when Israel was gathered. There was a trumpet when time shall be no more. And that's the subject we won't talk about this morning, when time shall be no more. The last trumpet, one thunder, but here is seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that perfect number. Now, if you'll stop it right there, in the seal book, you'll find it printed, one thunder, but here is seven straight thunders right now in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, in the seal book, it's cut off right there. And it doesn't pick it up until right there. From there to there is left out of the seal book. Now let's see what it says. If people read the seal book and they didn't hear this, it's not even in the seal book now.
That's right.
Why? Because right there they turned the tape over. And I noticed last night, it says, end of first side. And I noticed that Brother Branham's thought from there to there didn't make sense. To stop right there and then say, now why? This is asking a question. Well, he's not asking there. Now, here's what it says. That perfect number, seven thunders in a row, uttered not, making just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it. Nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It was so great till it's kept secret from the angels. Amen. Now, why? You look in your seal book. It's not in your seal book, is it?
No.
Yeah, Brother Green, it's in the last one.
Oh, okay. In the newest one. In the newest one, they found it. But not in the old seal book that everybody's got. Which one do you have, John? Okay, that's the one they just printed and put out. In the last 4 or 5 years. Huh?
2002.
Oh, okay, that's the last 3 years. Okay, see, this has been found. It probably, when whoever's making the seal tapes flipped it over, they didn't have it, but somebody else did. And in the meantime, they've got a hold to one of those where it wasn't flipped, and he added this to it. And I'm glad you shouldn't leave that out. But it's not that it makes that much controversy different, but I want you to know that even that one statement, it comes along and it does make it sound different. Because now why? If Satan could get a hold of it, he might do great damage. Now that to me is a warning. Anybody that wants to take something about the seals and say that they know the answer and they know the mystery, then they shouldn't say it.
That's the truth.
Because if they say it, then Satan gets a hold of it and he does great damage.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you that what people have said about the seventh seal has done great damage. Because it has eliminated the idea of an expectation in people's lives. That it's too late or it's finished. Now, let me give you an example that I gave Wednesday night with this, and some of you were not here. If Peter, James, and John, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah had come, which they did, and Jesus talked to them, they said, well, why do the scribes teach such as Elias must first come? And Jesus said, well, truly Elias has already come. What if Peter, James, and John had come off the Mount of Transfiguration and been teaching and had put it in their writings even that was the fulfillment of Malachi 4? Elijah's already come. He said it. And they could have got a revelation of it. I'm going to show you this morning where there's people in the New Testament that did that. And Paul rebuked them.
Amen.
He called them false prophets and liars and false teachers. Now, it's no different with us in this day. If somebody comes along and tells you something that is not true about Brother Branham's message, that's a false teacher.
Amen.
That's a deceiver. That's a spirit of Antichrist. It's a very dangerous spirit that we have had to put up with, and it has hindered this bride.
That's true.
Done great damage, because there's people come along that did away with the gifts of the Spirit. That did away with any discernment. That did away with anybody having any dreams or prophecy. Did away with anybody praying for the sick. Because you're imitating Brother Branham. I want you to know that's a false spirit.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's against the word. Now why? If Satan should get a hold of it, it might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. He can interpret anything he wants to. Oh yeah. See what happens? They can interpret anything they want to. They can impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. But you can't know this. It's not even written in the word. It's a total secret.
Amen.
The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up. They quit harping. Everything stopped. Now, that's what the Bible says. That's what Brother Branham taught. And so we just need to understand that. And if somebody's got the answer, then I have some questions. I want to know what the third pull is.
Yeah.
I want to know what the new name is. I want to know when you got the body change.
Right.
And I want to know how come you don't show us more of Jesus Christ in your life than anybody else. If you have the greater revelation, you should have the greater works, the greater following,
Amen.
The greater personality. Amen. You should be more Christ-like than anybody I know of. Then why did your revelation cause you to disfellowship everybody else and look down on us as though we have nothing? Your life does not speak with your revelation. I don't think anybody had a greater revelation and understanding of the Word of God and recognizing the hour and the message than Brother Branham did. And as a result, I don't see Brother Branham ever call anybody a serpent seed or outcast. Or make believer. Or disfellowship anybody. Rather instead, I find him going in a circle bigger and pulling everybody in.
Amen.
Why? Because I feel like that was the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you've got, I feel like you'll be the same way when you get the same revelation here.
Amen.
And I know you will if you got the same Holy Spirit here.
Sure.
Because that'll be Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You won't be feeling proud about your revelation. Thank you for saying amen this morning.
Amen.
Are you learning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we gave you the scriptures about the seventh seal. We've given you the why the seventh seal was not revealed. Brother Branham's quotes from the seal book itself, and you marked those last week.
Amen, yes.
Wednesday night, we gave you the quotes that Brother Branham said the seventh was not revealed. From other sermons after the seals, especially souls in prison and influence. And there's a man can turn on the light. So it wasn't just during the seals that Brother Branham said it was not revealed. Later on, he said he calls them a sixfold mystery. He says the seventh wasn't. He omitted that. And I think there's 21 statements where Brother Branham said he omitted it. He didn't give it. He didn't speak it. He didn't say it. It wasn't revealed. Well, then how can you find in the other 61 quotes where Brother Branham says, now the seven seals have been opened. How can you do away with those 21 that says it wasn't and come along because he uses the term the seven seals are opened? Well, I think Brother Branham's speaking in general terms of the seven seals.
Yes, sure.
We know that the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
But that's all we know about it. Except we know now that it's the third coming. Because Brother Branham puts it in there and says when it happens, all of heaven is empty and it's silent. That's not the second coming. That's the third coming. That's him coming back in a corporal body on a white horse with all of his saints on white horses behind him to set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. Now, that makes it fall in line when Brother Branham says the seventh seal is the end of all things. Well, if the seventh seal is the second coming, Then there's the trumpets, the vials, the plagues, the thunders, the tribulation. All those things that have got to happen. They haven't come to an end. So the seventh, again, cannot be the second coming. It has to be the third. It has to be the end of all things. Now, let's go to the Bible this morning and read some scriptures here that talks about the end of time and the end of all things.
Yes.
And we'll start with Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. 7, 8, and 9. Now, Brother Branham goes back in the seals and he refers to these. Daniel chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now I want to ask you something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there was the Word. In the beginning. How many beginnings were there? Okay. When he speaks of the end time, how many end times are there? When all things are finished, how many times is that going to be? So this one in Daniel has got to be the same as the one in Revelations. All these things shall be finished. Now, let's go to verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Isn't that amazing? A prophet understood not. I hate to say this, because some people will misunderstand me, but Brother Branham didn't know everything.
That's right, Brother.
Brother Branham said, I saw it, but I couldn't make it out.
That's right.
He says, I don't know.
That's right.
Well, why don't we let him be truthful?
Yes, that's right.
Why don't we go, but Brother Branham did know. And Brother Branham said the bride would know. Let's find where Brother Branham says no. Here it says, I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Time of the end. Oh, now we can broaden that and say, well, end times, message times, our time. We'll understand these things. You know, that sort of gets a little bit conceited. God's going to show us things he didn't show somebody else. Now, we do know more about God than any other generation's ever known. Because we've got 2,000 years of history or 6,000 years of history to know what he's done, how he's revealed himself and all that. And certainly no other generation has seen him in the power and the demonstration or the revelation of the fullness of the word and a prophecy. No other generation had prophecies like we have even of the seven visions of 1933. No other generation ever had them over that short a span of time. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel interpreted, but from Nebuchadnezzar down to, you might say, Eisenhower and Khrushchev. But look how many thousand years that was.
Sure.
But from Roosevelt to America's destroyed, I say it's going to be less than 100 years. It's only been, what, 70-something now, 78 now, or 75? And we've seen five of them fulfilled.
Amen.
The only one that's left is that automobile to travel the highways and the woman ruling America and America destroyed.
Yeah.
And we see the potential of every one of those.
Yes.
We can see them coming. We can hear the hoofbeats of the horses.
Yeah.
We can see it publicized and people talking about it and expecting and believing it's going to happen. This morning, I read a quick article that said Laura Bush said she'd back Condoleezza Rice for president. That ought to be quite a race between Condoleezza Rice, the Republicans, and Hillary Clinton, the Democrats. Then we know we're going to have a woman. Either way, we got a 50-50 chance there. We got a 100% chance. Beautiful woman, rise up and rule America. Bright, smart, intelligent. Politicians, recognized around the world, respected, well known. I don't know, but I see prophecy being fulfilled.
Amen. Yes.
You may say, but Brother Branham said possibly the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, he did. But he never excluded the other.
No, he didn't.
Now, time of the end. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now, in my chapter on the 10th, I give a little exhortation about anything being synonymous. And I don't know whether I learned this in a logic class or one, but they say if 1 plus 1 equals 2, and then 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 4, then 2 plus 2 equals 4. You understand? Equals equals.
Yes.
If two ones is a two and two other ones makes it four, then the same two twos makes it a four. Anybody follow me there? Did I give you a math lesson there, huh? Did everybody follow? Now, it's like I said about the half-hour silence. The only thing that identifies in the Bible is the seventh seal. It doesn't give us any symbols. It only gives us an event of time, a moment. Brother Branham come along and said that just must be a few seconds. If 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, 30-minute silence would be just a few days. I think somebody's even figured it out, and their revelation comes along and tell you how many days. And that's the reason they had the Lord coming in 1981, 83, 87, different times, because they figured it would be about 20 years. And that's how long that 30-minute silence was. But anytime you hear, and Brother Branham uses that half-hour silence as a definition or an adjective on something, that he's referring to the seventh seal.
Yes.
Like we found on page 96 or paragraph 96 in the Sardis Church Age, Brother Branham's talking about Jesus Christ coming back with 10,000 times 10,000 of his angels, and all of heaven was silent. Heaven was vacant. Heaven was silent. He says what the Bible says. Well, what did he do? He put the seventh seal as the setting up of the millennium.
Yes.
He uses the term ushering in of the millennium.
Amen.
That's the term he uses. And I want you folks to know that ushering in of the millennium became a term in Brother Vail's vocabulary. So in the church age book, he uses that as 1977, since he believes that's the end of all things, by a vision that they were supposed to have seen. He doesn't say that, but he had it in the original manuscript, and I know that's what influenced it, but Brother Branham never had a vision of a calendar flipping in 1977. Never had it. That's something maybe I should tell this congregation, because not all of you was here when it happened. Whenever we preached from 1965, after Brother Branham left, up until about 1973, well, we preached that five visions had been fulfilled, and Brother Branham saw a vision of a calendar flipping in 1977. Five of the visions come to pass. 1977, because Brother Branham said, I believe it'll all be fulfilled before 1977. And somebody challenged me about the statement, which I appreciated. And we had about this many people in church down at the old tabernacle. And I asked the congregation one night, I said, how many of you people heard about Brother Branham having a vision of a calendar flipping? And about half of the congregation raised their hand or stood up and said, we did. And I said, okay, where did you hear it? Well, couldn't nobody remember exactly what tape they heard it on? So at that time, we had about 400 tapes of Brother Brown's, and we had a library. So before that service was over with, every tape went out of the library, and I told everybody, now you listen to this tape, and you listen to this tape, and let's listen to all of these tapes this week, every single tape we got of Brother Brown's, and see if anybody can find where Brother Brown said he had a vision of a calendar flipping. Were any of you people here when that happened? Anybody took part of that? Okay, see, I've got some witnesses. It did take place. Okay, we came back to service the next week, and not one single person found it. But the people who said they knew it and they heard him say it, I interviewed them. I said, okay, where'd you hear it? And where'd you hear it? And who told you? And where'd you get it? If you didn't hear it on tape, where'd you get it? And some of the people could remember. And we successfully traced it back to Leo Mercer wrote an article. And it was published in the Healing Magazine of Matson Bozaid. What do you call his magazine? Anybody remember offhand? Right now, I can't remember. But anyway, Brother Manson Bose's magazine published it. And in there, Leo said, Brother Branham must have had a vision of a calendar flipping or something. And the last year he saw was 1977. And that began to be told, and I preached it all over the world. And it wasn't true. But we do find where Brother Branham says that Abraham had 1,954 years. And Brother Branham said the Gentiles have the same time. And if you'll add that up, he said that's 1977. Well, Brother Branham made an error in his addition because he didn't carry his one over, and it should have been 1987. You understand what we're saying? And so we found out there then that it's possible for somebody to just say Brother Branham possibly did, and to get repeated for the truth around the world. And we found out then that we need to be careful to say what Brother Branham says, not what somebody else says he says. Now, I know that I say some things that Brother Branham told me personally, but I always identify those to you, and I want you to judge whether you think they fit or not. I only give you that so that you can have an understanding of some of the other things he says. And like one of the things that I do, and I say it in this chapter on the tent vision, is twice Brother Branham told me, when he told me the tent vision in detail, he told me that Brother Bill Dow had offered him $5 million to buy the tent with. And he said, I can have it anytime I want it, Brother Green. So Brother Branham on the tape makes a statement, the tent's already paid for. Well, I know people who will stand up and put you out of the message because you'll say that tent has never been ordered. Brother Branham, to me, in that when he says the tent's already paid for, somebody had promised him he could have the money. But if it was ordered and paid for, then where is it? Well, the next thing you know is, well, Brother Billy Paul probably knows where it's stored. So Brother Billy Paul's got a secret nobody else knows. You know, and you ask Billy, no, he don't know nothing about that. But he didn't start that, but other people started. And you can't get in the back of, Brother Branham said it was paid for, and it's paid for. They won't take an explanation that Brother Bill Dowd said, Brother Branham, I've got $5 million you can buy the tent with. What Brother Dowd do with that money? He made a trust fund out of it. It's controlled by people today, and the proceeds to the profit of it goes to help propagate and spread this message to this day. It's still of some benefit to the people of this message. Just like it was when Brother Branham was alive, when Brother Branham needed this house up here, Brother and Sister Dow put up $46,000 and bought this house. Of course, Brother Branham bought that on a $100 a week salary to some people. Just like Brother Branham took a $10,000 hunting trip to Africa in May of 1965 on a $100 a week salary. See, some people just need to stop and calculate and look and act. You know how Brother Branham made the trip to Africa in May of 1965? Brother Sidney Jackson sold his Jeep and paid for it. How do I know that? Brother Jackson told me. Not bragging about him or anything, but that's just the way it happened. And Brother Branham didn't want him to do it. He said, no, and Brother Jackson said, no, I invited you and I want to pay for it. That was the friend that Sidney Jackson had. I wonder if that has anything to do with when Brother Branham makes the statement. Now, my friend Sidney Jackson in South Africa, is he my friend because he's a preacher? No, I got a lot of preacher friends. Is he my friend because he's a hunter? No, I got a lot of hunting friends. There are just some things I can't tell you people. Is it because Brother Jackson exercised and manifested love to Brother Branham that nobody else at that time did? I never gave him a $10,000 hunting trip. Other people could afford it. They didn't do it, but Brother Sidney Jackson did. Brother Jackson stayed after it until he got him the visa and everything else and got him and made the arrangements for the services and made arrangements for the hunt and everything else, and he got to be with him the whole hunting trip. And we were privileged to have Brother Jackson here for 13 years, 6 months out of the year. Think I didn't learn something? Yes, I did. Every experience Brother Jackson had with Brother Branham, how many times do you think I heard him? How many times do you think I heard him kill them four zebras in there? Pow, got that. Pow, got that. Pow, got that. Anybody else ever see him do that? I heard him kill them zebras at least a dozen times. And it told me how they ate them. But that's part of it. Now, Now, in Revelation 10, 1 to 2, what I'm doing is I'm teaching you the similarities. Daniel talked about the end time, time being no more. Now we go to Revelation 10, 1 through 6. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, I want you to know that people try to make this, Brother Branham, it has difficulty with me. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, remember seven thunders. This one does seven thunders. And Brother Branham in the seals talks about seven thunders. Is there two sets of them, or is this the same one? And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now that sounds like a statement that God told Daniel. Doesn't it? Don't write them till the time of the end. Here we do the same thing, these things. So there's a possibility these two are the same thing. Let's go to verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Now, let me teach you something about the swear. God forbids any man to swear by his throne or him. He says, swear not at all. So if you make this, Brother Branham, you got Brother Branham violating the word of God. The Bible commands us not to swear. And this one does swear. By him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. That's a serious event. Daniel said something like that. John the Revelator said he saw one do that. Now let's go to Matthew 24, 36. Now I didn't bring in verse 7. We'll get that later. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's the words of Jesus himself. Amen. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. That's the words that Jesus gave his disciples. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Amen. So the word, the scripture, Daniel, John, Matthew, Mark, and Acts tells us nobody knows. And it was not for them to know the time of the end. Now, if you've got your seal books, you can mark these. We're going to go to the seal books in 63. 324 in the evening. It's page 556. It'll be the sixth paragraph on the page. And I think it's paragraph 229 in the new book. John, yours may be different. I don't know since they added something to it. But it'll be approximately there anyway. 229. Now, when let us prove it. Why? It is the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidding to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? That is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see? If it's so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice when the seven angels came forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder when Israel was gathered. There was a trumpet when time shall be no more. The last trumpet, one thunder. Yeah, that's the same one you had a while ago. It's page 555, paragraph 6. Now, we'll turn to the eighth chapter of Revelations. I know you're tired. Now, just try to listen just a few minutes now, and God of heaven help us is my prayer. Now, I want to point this out to you, that this right here is the very beginning in the seventh seal chapter of what Brother Branham has to say about the seventh seal. From this page 559 for the next 25 pages is when Brother Branham preaches the seventh seal. The other is an introduction or comparisons and lessons and synonyms and so forth he talks about and comparisons and experiences and visions. But this is the beginning and this is the meat of the seventh seal when he starts right here. He said, I know you're tired. Now just try to listen just a few minutes more now. And God of heaven help us is my prayer. We must remember that the seventh seal. Okay, stop it. We must remember. Very important. Yeah. Just like last Sunday. Very important. Today he said we must remember. Don't forget it. Amen. We must remember that the seventh seal is the end of all things. Now, if you forget that, you'd be tempted to put the seventh seal over here and something else is still going on. But if it's the end of all things, nothing else is going to be happening back here. If the seventh seal was the second coming and the second coming was 63, then what's all this that happening here in the meantime? That's enough right there to make me question my revelation if I had that revelation. That'd be enough to make me question it. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It is the end. Now let's see. He names them all. It's the end of the struggling world. The world's still struggling?
Yes.
It's the end of a struggling nature. You still struggling?
Yes.
It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Matthew, the seventh chapter. Revelation, the seventh chapter, 10th verse. And 1 to 7 verse. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. When that in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. The end of this seventh seal. I say again, the seventh seal hasn't been fulfilled. Too much is still going on. Too many people still expressing their opinion. There won't be any difference of opinion when he says, that's it. Do you know what? Even those that don't believe in him are going to confess him and bow and behold him. Even those that said, he's not real, he's not God, they're going to change their mind. The end of all things. But we're not there yet. But we will be. He is Lord. Every knee shall confess. Shall bow. Every tongue confess. Now, let's go to the next one. Did you mark that in your seal book? Let's go to the same book. Let's go to the next paragraph, 556. Second one, but it's 233 paragraph and a new one. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. There again, he identifies the seventh seal with the beginning of the millennium. Now, it's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes here and it goes up. Then it explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. It fades out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time of the world. It ends the time for this. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, In this idea of it being like a rocket going off, in the rapture, Brother Branham describes it like a Roman candle. And I've heard people try to take and type this, that from the time Brother Branham brought the seals, this went off and this happened. Well, it's just like Brother Branham talks about three kinds of believers. Yep. We shot one Roman candle and come off, make believer, unbeliever, and believer. And you know, you can take any subject Brother Branham preaches, and you can break it up into different subjects and different titles and different points that he makes in it. I just don't think that's the Roman candle or the rocket Brother Brown's talking about exploding. But when you look and what he says about the sixth seal, and this vial brings on this vial, and this vial brings this plague, and this plague brings this thing, that once thing starts, when he says time shall be no more, there'll be no more delay to those things happening.
That's right, amen.
It'd be like once it's lit, you're not going to stop it.
That's right, amen.
Now, I really believe that the judgment of God is coming on here, and God being a long-suffering God, like he did with the Amalekites in Abraham's day, waited for the cup of iniquity to fill up. I think that we can see that iniquity was bad when Brother Branham was here, about women ready to wear ready-made clothes or something. Ready to wear, and Brother Branham interpreted, well, oh my, maybe they're ready to put on dresses. But if he was here now, I don't think he could stand it. I don't think that. I think the spirit in him would be so grieved, because it grieves me.
Yes, sir.
I think it grieves you.
Amen.
And if you're getting used to it, something's wrong.
Amen.
I think that's one of the reasons I don't enjoy going to the mall. I think when you walk through the store and see how they got the mannequins dressed, I think that's enough to turn your stomach.
Yeah, it is.
Even though they're idols. And that's all they're there is for people to look at and worship. Oh, ain't that pretty? Nothing pretty about it to me.
No, sir.
Cover it up. Put a sheet over. Do something.
Amen. Yes.
Everything just ended up on the seventh seal. Now, let's go outside the seal book. Let's go to a message called Look. And it's a month later. It's book number it's preached April the 28th, 1963. It's paragraph 16. And it says, I just finished a series of services on the last seven seals, and finding that in this sixth seal that there's a great interpretation in nature, interruption in nature. The moon, the stars, the earth belches forth, the church is purged, Israel is purged. Everything is purged under that seventh seal so that the millennium can start in. There has to be a cleansing first.
Amen.
And that's what's the church today. And what I want to point to you, that we need a cleansing. Before anything can begin from God, we've got to have a purging. And when we look and see things that is now under the present conditions, existing the way they are, we can see that we've got to have something to happen before God can continue his program and a purging. Many of us, I say, might look back. Now, Brother Branham again is saying that before anything can happen, there's got to be this purging, this end of all these things, this struggle, this sin, this perversion, the end of it. And folks, that didn't happen in 63. This happens when the millennium starts, or just before the millennium starts. Now, let's go to a message entitled, Man, They Can Turn on the Light, December the 29th in the morning in 1963, and it's paragraph 24. Now, I see you're changing seats with each other and out in the halls and so forth. We wish we had a place to sit down and Now, when we have those trumpets, we want to get the high school gymnasium. Now, notice Brother Branham talking about these trumpets. And later on in the Feast of the Trumpets, he comes along and says, they have nothing to do with the Gentile bride.
That's right.
So Brother Branham didn't know when he said this. He said he's struggling to get them. And then the Lord showed him, they got nothing to do with Gentiles. That's to the Jews.
Amen.
So don't keep trying to find these. I think it seats 500, and then we'd have a chance to everybody to have a seat and sit down and listen quietly while we were preaching. Or the trumpets. They're very fine. And looking at it the other day. See on the sixth seal, all seven trumpets sound right there on that sixth seal. Just before the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. Just before the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. Then that seventh seal wasn't the preaching of the seals. Or Sunset Mountain. Or 63. Let's look at Feast of the Trumpets, which is July the 19th in the morning in 1964, a year and a half after he preaches the seals. It's page 22, the second paragraph. Notice the very first trumpet sound, blood, fire, hail, and everything scattered the ground. What was he doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt back into his homeland. Now let me say this right here, that every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. And we'll get to it in a few minutes where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal because the seventh seal, there was silence. Amen. No one knew that was the number or hour that Christ would come as he revealed it to us. But every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal under the persecution of the Jews.
Amen.
Let's go to another one. It's on page 36, paragraph 3 in that same book, Feast of the Trumpets. 1964, January 19th. Pentecost finishes at the first period of the seventh trumpet. For the next is the coming of the seventh seal. For the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ. And also the trumpet is sound for the Jews. Now, I know that the third reason why people tended to get this out of place, besides Brother Branham skipping chapter 7 and not and in preaching the seventh seal right after the sixth, they didn't realize how much had to happen between the sixth seal and the seventh seal.
Right.
Second reason was that they didn't have access to the seal book in the full sermon. The third one, I think, is here. They want this trumpet to sound. They were looking for the trumpets, and they didn't realize that these trumpets had nothing to do with Gentiles. Brother Branham even sort of lit that match by telling us he's going to preach the trumpets. Because as soon as people left the seals, oh, we're going to come back and hear the trumpets. And for a year or two there, well, I should say for a year and a half, from March until July of the next year, when he preached Feast of the Trumpets, or December the next year, almost 2 years, people were saying, well, he's going to have the trumpets. He's going to have the trumpets. But then in Feast of the Trumpets, he said, the trumpets have nothing to do with Gentiles.
Amen. Right.
And there were people expecting these mysteries, so they were constantly searching and looking for these mysteries. Now, I think there's a fourth reason. In that length of time, people had come up with the thought, Brother Branham being the seventh messenger, and when he begins to sound, then all the mysteries will be finished. And I really think that we misplaced Brother Branham. Now, Brother Branham talks about the seventh messenger, the seventh angel to the Laodicean age. But in the context of that, which we're going to give a detailed explanation by Brother Branham in the scriptures, they're right in the middle of that six and seven of those angels pouring out their trumpets, sounding out their trumpets, pouring out their vials, giving out the plagues. And when it says this seventh angel, there comes there that there's a double thing. You might say a two-sided thing like Malachi 4 is. One to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, one the children back to the fathers. John the Baptist was like Elijah and Brother Branham was Elijah. Okay, now in Revelations 10:7, we've got the same thing. Brother Branham comes along and says, when this angel begins to sound, then all the mysteries should be finished. Well, everybody says, well, if all the mysteries are finished, then the seventh seal is no longer a mystery. We got to know what it is, so here's what we got to find out what it is, and we got an explanation for it.
Amen.
But we got ourselves totally out of sync. And when he does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. One half hour is fixed. Now, folks, that's the seventh seal. The sixth seal finishes a mystery. The sixth seal finishes the mystery.
Amen.
The sixth seal finishes the mystery.
Amen.
All the mysteries are finished under the six seals.
Right.
The seventh is the coming of the Lord, which nobody knows anything about.
Amen.
The only thing Brother Bram's identified it as the coming of the Lord. Now, what you got to decide, is it the second coming or the third coming? According to Brother Bram's terms. Is it the catching away of the bride, or is it the return of Jesus in a corporal body to set up as a millennial kingdom on this earth? I tend to believe that it's the return of Jesus Christ to set up his millennial kingdom on this earth with all of his saints on white horses behind him. That's what I tend to believe the seventh seal is. And I find all the quotes of Brother Branham does points to that. Just before the seventh opened. Now, wait a minute. The sixth seal finishes the mystery under the sixth seal just before the seventh opened. But now, haven't seven seals been opened? Brother Bram says the seven seals have been opened. But we're right here, he talks about the seventh being opened in the future.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
See, I've always tried to use the terminology. The seventh seal has been revealed as the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
But it's not been fulfilled. And I believe that when the seventh seal is opened, it begins to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Now, that's just a matter of terminology, but it helps us to keep it straight if we know the language. If we understand Brother Bram's Kentucky English and lingo. He uses these terms. The seven seals are opened. Well, that means we know what they are. They've been revealed. Yes, we know. But have they been fulfilled? I'm going to tell you this. Fifth seal's opened.
Amen.
Sixth seal's opened. But they haven't been fulfilled.
That's right. Amen.
If this fulfilled, we'd have all the vials and the plagues and the trumpets and everything going on. Now, here's Leviticus 23 and 26. Higher in order is the scripture. After the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, and he called the Gentile church out through this Pentecostal feast. Now, hold it right there. I want to say this. I preached a series on this a long time ago about these feasts that they have in Leviticus 23. The Feast of the Tabernacle and this. And we show that the first three were fulfilled to the letter at the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection and Pentecost and the Ascension. It takes 40 days for those to be fulfilled. Now, if those were true, then the next ones, which is the Feast of the Trumpet and everything, and if we knew what day to start, we can know what day it's going to end. Now, I don't know if any of you are here and you remember that at all, but let me ask you to go back and read Leviticus 23 and 26 and read about these. Son, do you want something or you just...
No, I have a question.
It's not the time to ask it. Not the time to ask you during a public service. I'll see you after service, but it's not the time to interrupt me preaching, but you have by waving your hand. Okay? Maybe Brother Daniel can help you there with something. I don't know. But it's very disturbing maybe you'd be waving your hand all the time. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude to you. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for waiting, okay? I don't know if you've ever read those feasts or not, but I will say this, that I think Brother Donnie Reagan, I heard a tape of his where he brought these feasts from Leviticus, and he did as fine a job as anybody I've ever heard.
Yes.
I thought it was a very wonderful explanation Brother Donnie gave and the types he gave and things he did with Brother Branham. So I have no doubt what Brother Donnie believes about this, because if he holds to those feasts in Leviticus 23 and 26, he's going to have his balance with it. And it would help if we all knew that too. And if you don't know that, well, maybe in the future I will bring some. Maybe I'll get Brother Donnie's DVD and play it for you some, because I just admired the way that he brought it and what he said there. I think he did an even better job than I did on it. But now, here in Leviticus 23 and high in order, this is the scripture. After the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, and he called the Gentile church out through this Pentecostal feast. Now, let's go to the next one here, and I think we go back to the seventh seal here. It's on page 557, paragraph 1. It's 241 in the new book. And the 24 elders that stood before God, they're harping with their harps. They quit playing their harps. The angels hushed their singing in heaven. Thank the holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw in the temple with six sets, or three sets of wings, three or two over his face and two over his feet and flying. And he's day and night there before God saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And even when they walked in or came into the temple, the posts of the temple moved with their presence. And these holy seraphims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Flying in the presence of God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy," they shut up. No angels singing, no praises, no altar service, no nothing. There was silence. Hush, deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half hour. When the seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open, think of it. But it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What was it? Now, I think Brother Branham does an excellent job here. And I want to make sure that you get it. I want you, first of all, to get a picture of what all is taking place in heaven. It talks about the cherubims and the seraphims and the angels throughout eternity, ever since they've been created. They've got three sets of wings, and they're flapping those wings, and it's holy, 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 holy. Angels are singing, the music's playing, the harps are there, all the angelic things. That you've never in your life, you can imagine or picture all the things that are happening whenever the angels in heaven are doing this holy, holy, holy. And then think, what an event this must be that all of a sudden the conductor shuts it down. There's silence.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you know anything in your life that you could compare it with? And Brother Branham said they were in such awe. I remember one time as a child, I was standing on the back porch of our house in Maryville, Louisiana. And down there we used to have flocks of blackbirds come. And there'd be thousands of them. And we had a big sycamore tree in the backyard. And it seemed like every night those blackbirds in that whole area would come and they would turn that tree black. And you never heard such noise in your life. You know, well, you probably have. If you've ever heard a rock and roll band, you've heard something worse than that. But some church bands, too. But okay. Boy, you got that one in, didn't you? Okay. I heard some music the other day. Somebody sent me a CD, and I wondered, where did this come from, you know? It didn't sound like any hymn I ever heard, but you know, maybe that's what some people like. But anyway, these blackbirds would come, and I don't care if you was in the house or where you were, you could hear them. And I used to go back there and just wonder how many thousands of them are there. And I guess I was a little boy. I think I was in the second or third grade. And one day I thought I'd scare them off. And I got on the back porch and I hollered as loud as I could. "Hey!" Just loud as I could. And you know what? Every one of them birds. And in my mind, that's burned an image. You know, you can shock things sometime until it just, they're shocked and they stop. "Hey!" And there was silence. And as I've gotten older and I've read the scriptures, I've thought of that look at all the wonderful things that's happening in heaven. And Brother Branham describes this about the angels singing and praising and no altar service, no nothing. And those angels, holy, 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 since the eons of time. And they still haven't described his holiness. Holy, 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 holy. And they still haven't described his holiness. But there's something that happens that brings it all silence. What an event that must be.
Amen.
What is it that could be that is it seeing this mighty host? We know that the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be before that. And the angels are going to have seen the table thousands of miles long. And seen and heard us singing and praising and crying and weeping until he wipes our tears away. And Brother Branham said, we'll be singing Amazing Grace, I Once Was Lost, But Now I'm Found. The angel will be standing over there saying, what are they talking about? Because they've never experienced being lost. They don't know what it is. They were created to worship Him. Holy, 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 holy. But there's a predestinated moment in time.
Amen.
When an event's going to take place. And for a half hour. Quieter than a library. Silence. I believe I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be able to remember this moment that I tried to describe it to you people, and I'm going to say, I did a poor job. But you think for yourself, what a tremendous event must be fixing to take place.
Amen.
That would cause all of it. And you know, how many angels are there? Thousands times thousands, Daniel saw. Before the Ancient of Ages. Well, that's over a million. Have you ever been around where there's a million people doing something? Well, just go one time and listen to a football game where there's 100,000.
Yeah.
And hear what they can do when one little piece of pigskin goes in the right direction. Usually half of them cheering, the other half booing. But think of this event. 1 half hour silence. But the Bible describes it another way. Time shall be no more.
Amen.
The end of all things. That's identified with the seventh seal. Now, I'm only half through with my preparation this morning, but I'm going to quit there. Because tonight, the Lord willing, I'm either going to play you the seventh seal as Brother Branham preached it from page 555 on, or I'm going to give you the warnings that the Bible gives about in the last days, that we're to try the spirits, that we're to prove all things.
Amen. Yes.
That we're to check the motive.
Yes.
Because Paul warns and says, after my departure, there will be grievous wolves come in. And I don't want to call anybody a grievous wolf. But I was here when Brother Branham left. And I can give you at least six brothers who all of a sudden come forward, and they were Joshua to lead the bride. Prophecies came forth with great anointing. And I want you to know that all of those brothers are now gone. And they led the bride nowhere. Except in the confusion. Now, where do you want to be? I want to be one of those that Brother Branham said, just be a humble Christian.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
One another.
Uh-huh.
Draw close to God.
Yep.
Obey His commandments. Remember His statutes. Same thing Brother Branham encourages you in here. Same thing I did in 1969 when I wrote this book. As far as I know, I haven't had to change anything about what I said about the seventh seal. But I did make a comparison. Brother Branham says, this is a third pull. This is a tent vision. This is the coming of the Lord. This is the rapture. When he identifies those things all in the same bracket, we have to look and say, well, we know these things are going to happen. In conclusion this morning, the best advice that I ever heard Brother Branham give anybody, and I believe he did, was to a group of brothers who was on a camping trip. And they were asking him, just like Jesus was asking the disciples, when will the coming of the kingdom be? Will you introduce the kingdom now? Will you do this? And Brother Branham told their group of brothers, just make sure you're in the resurrection. And I had them all come to the tabernacle and tell everything they knew about all these mysteries. And that's the thing we got out of it. Just be sure you're in the resurrection. To do that, you got to live right now and have the right attitude. Because if you die, you need to come out of the resurrection. But if you're alive and remain, you need to be ready to be in a resurrection.
Amen.
Just be ready for the resurrection. Tell me today, folks, is your heart right with God? Do you have, like what Brother Howard preached while he's here, do you have a clean heart? You have a clean heart before God this morning? You got a right spirit and a right attitude? You don't have any ought in your heart against anybody, because if you do, you're in danger of hellfire. But this morning, let's let it be at peace with God, at peace with man. You may not know and understand everything, but you want to believe everything.
Amen.
You want to believe that which is right. And if you're an elect, you cannot be deceived.
Amen.
You may be confused, but you won't be confused if you become informed about it. So that's the reason I've said, check it out in your seal book. Look in your seal book. Not what I say. Look what Brother Bram says. Look what he says about it in other books. And then just stay with that. And live the same simple, humble Christian life you're living. And one of these days you'll walk off the earth. That's the promise you've got from God.